So, does anybody remember what I've been preaching on? Great job. But I'm not preaching on that today. Thank you very much for remembering, though. That was a setup. I apologize. But yeah, vision is in 2 weeks. I'm going to continue with vision in 2 weeks. But today, I want to follow, because we've been going, I haven't been speaking about vision. Myself and Pastor Jonah have been going through the life of Jesus, because the more we know about Jesus, the better. The more we know who he is, the more he can affect our lives, the more we can grow in relationship and all that other great stuff that comes along with it. So I'm going to pick up where he left off. So if you want to turn to Luke 8, we're going to pick it up in verse 40. So, last week, Pastor Jonah talked about the demoniac. You know, I listened to it. It was very good, very interesting. It's, you guys can go to the website and listen to any of the sermons. We do download the sermons. So if you want to rehear something, want to share something, you can share them with friends, whatever. They're all on the website. But it was good. So we're going to pick up there. So Jesus casts this legion out. It wasn't just a demon, it was legion. But he still cast them out, and then he heads back. All right, gets back on the boat, comes back across the sea, and what do you know? There's multitudes waiting for him. And so I'm going to be jumping, because there's all sorts of parallel scriptures here throughout the Gospels, mostly Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I'm going to be referencing those as well, and I probably won't give you time to turn there. But Luke 8:40, hopefully to the end of the chapter, is what we're going to be focusing on today. So Jesus gets out of the boat, and there's multitudes there. They know he's coming. They're waiting for him. And it says over in Matthew, I believe, that he was teaching. He gets out and he starts teaching. Right? He gets out, he starts teaching. The throngs are there. People are ready to be healed. People want to hear what he has to say. So we'll pick it up in 40. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at the feet, at Jesus' feet, and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. So, you get the picture. Huge crowd. Everybody wants a piece of Jesus. They know what's going on. Word has gotten out. He's teaching. He's preaching. He's healing. And just knowing what the rest of the scripture says about leaders of the synagogue, this was a big deal that this guy came forward. A big deal. Because if you associated yourself as a Pharisee or Sadducee or whatever with Jesus, you were out, man. Like, they didn't have time for you. And so this was a really big deal that this guy openly, you know, Nicodemus sought him in private. But this guy didn't care, because there was something far more important than the prestige, than everything that came along with being a ruler of a synagogue. Because I would imagine, especially in the Jewish culture at the time, that was a big deal. He was a big deal. But there was something far more important. And thank God he realized that. Thank God he recognized that. His daughter. The heart of a father, right? What wouldn't we do for our children? What wouldn't we give up, no matter how much they annoy us, even if they've discarded us, even if they've cast us off, even if they've turned their back on us, what wouldn't we do for our kids? Which makes me think of Christ. What didn't he do for us? Right? Because he's that good. He's that good. So, you have Jairus seeking him, right? And he makes his plea. And so what I want us to recognize here is these statements of faith. There are statements of faith here. He makes this statement that if you lay your hands on her, she will be healed. So that's where Jairus was. You know, we have the centurion who had a different revelation of this faith. If you just say the word, right? If you just say the word, I don't need you to do anything but say the word. But Jairus wasn't there yet. And that's okay, because Jesus still went with him, right? Jesus still went with him, even though he didn't have the centurion's faith. Because the centurion's faith was great. I mean, Jesus even complimented him on his faith. I haven't seen such faith, no, not in Israel. And he wasn't even a Jew. So, you know, he was at a different level, but this man here, if you just lay your hands on her, I know she'll be healed. That's where he was, and that's where God's going to meet him. So that's the key phrase here. Come and lay your hands on her. Remember that, because, let's go to verse 43. So imagine you're Jairus. He says, yes, he's coming. The instant relief that you feel. He's coming. Something's going to happen. Something's going to change. You turn around and go. Let's go to 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border or the hem of his garment, and immediately her flow stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So he stops. Jairus had some good momentum going here. He got his attention. He had him coming. And then something happens and Jesus stops. I really love it, because I was meditating on this. Jesus was never in a hurry. Like, the circumstance didn't dictate whether or not Jesus walked faster or, you know, oh, just wait, don't, I got to go do this first. And then, I mean, he waited for Lazarus for 4 days. It didn't bother him, because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what he could do. He knew, he knows he is God. He knows the power of God, right? But I just find that interesting. So we have this woman. And I'm going to read a few verses out of Matthew and Mark just to kind of add to the story here. You know, and if you ever want, there's Andrew Womack does a great Bible. It's a Life for Today Bible. He puts all of the Gospels, these stories, next to each other. It's really cool. You can just, you know, like, you have all these verses right next to each other. You can read them, how each author wrote it, and just, you know, it's really a really good study Bible. I do recommend it. But it says in Matthew 9, 20 through 21, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. There's this statement of faith. This is where she was. If I but touch, she didn't even have to touch him. Just grab a hold of the edge of the hem of his garment. That's where she was. Mark 5, 25 through 26 says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things, suffered, and I want to note here that this suffered is the same suffered they use when they describe what Jesus went through on the cross. Because, you know, in Greek, there's suffered has multiple terms, but if you look it up, this is the same suffered that Jesus went through. So this wasn't pleasant. These procedures that she was going through and these things that they were doing her to try and help her was not pleasant. And she spent her whole life's savings, and I can't imagine the extent that this woman went through to try and be healed, and the pain that she went through, and the mental anguish that she has gone through. and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Hopeless. Hopeless. It says she was vexed. That term means vexed. She suffered intense pain. Her mind was vexed because there was nothing that could help her or change her. And we know in this culture that she was an outcast. She was an outcast. I can't imagine the emotional toll that this woman went through. Because anybody who touched her would have been considered unclean. And she went as far as touching the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Jesus didn't rebuke her, right? Because there was a change happening. That's why he came. He came to fulfill the law. He was the fulfillment of it. So it didn't matter if she touched him, because he was there to change things. Amen? But she had determined something in her heart. And this is where we start. It was in her heart, I believe. It wasn't just an idea. It may have started as an idea, but it got down in her so much that a condemned woman who touches anybody, makes them unclean, shoved her way through a crowd. I mean, a crowd is a crowd. And I'd imagine back then, with if we go by what the word says, it seems like everybody was sick. Everybody needed help. So I would imagine, I mean, just look at, you know, there was thousands of people following Jesus. Thousands. And she pushes her way through this crowd. I mean, she probably could have been stoned, I would imagine, if she would have been found out. Because imagine all the people that are unclean now because of her, right? But this got in her heart. And she wasn't going to be stopped. And that's where we need this faith. That's where we need this relationship to go, is from our head to our heart. Because God looks on the heart. Head knowledge only took me so far, and it didn't take me very far at all. Head knowledge just got me in trouble. You know, especially when it came to the word, especially when it came to living a life with him, because I had no idea how that looked. I knew what it was in my head. I didn't know what it was in my heart. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. And so this went from a thought to a revelation, and that's what God wants. Okay, it was birthed up here, but he wants that seed to sprout in your heart. Of, you know what? He can do this. He can do this, because head knowledge will always let us down. Head knowledge will always doubt. Head knowledge is full of unbelief, full of it. But man, when you can get that in your heart, and your heart speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, watch out. Because in Romans 10, verse 17, Romans 10, 17 says, "Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So what were these people hearing about Jesus? Maybe they hadn't even heard him yet, but people were talking. You don't have that many people following you and seeking you, and nobody tells a story. I mean, it had been 400 years since the Jews had had any kind of a prophet, any kind of major work, miracles. I mean, all of a sudden, here's this man teaching, and he's teaching a doctrine that's freeing people, that's bringing them up from under. I mean, he hadn't died yet, so they didn't have salvation or anything like that. But if you follow him, he's going against the norm. He's kind of bucking the system because he's there to change the system. So he's teaching, he's healing, he has compassion on people. think it's interesting that the Bible says he had compassion on them, because I don't think there was much compassion at that time in the world, especially from leaders. You know, you always have people that are compassionate, but within leadership, I can't say this for sure, but I wonder how compassionate the Pharisees were. I wonder how compassionate the Sadducees were, because I don't think they were, because it was such a shock to people that Jesus was. The fact that he healed women, the fact that he had women in his inner circle, the fact that women helped provide to his ministry. I mean, it was radical, man. But it was good. And so I guarantee this woman heard something. Whether it was maybe a teaching, whether it was her that he was healing these people who didn't deserve anything, who didn't do anything for him, but he still healed them. There was instances where he healed all. Everyone who was there got healed. And you don't think that didn't spark something in her? You don't think that didn't spark something in Jairus? Because the funny thing is, the law provided health. Under the law, there was blessings and there was curses. But Israel had gone so far away and had made it so unattainable. There was Deuteronomy 28, I believe, blessings and curses. Health was part of it. But it looked like everybody was sick. There was no health. They had missed the point. And so you don't think this didn't spark something inside. You don't think this didn't say, you know what? I bet you he can do that for me. You know what? He can do that for me. You know, I may have started up here. I don't know. Would he do that for me? But no, he did it for others. So why wouldn't he do it for me? Maybe she knew somebody that was healed. I mean, he had compassion on prostitutes. He had compassion on tax collectors who were the scum of the scum. There were sinners, and then there were tax collectors. Tax collectors. That's telling you something. But he had compassion on them all. He wanted to help them all. And this sparked. This got in the heart. It went from the head to the heart. I follow a guy named Barry Bennett. He was one of my instructors at Caris. Amazing teacher. But I like what he has to say here. We often confuse understanding with faith. And I am guilty 1,000% of this. Especially when it comes to healing. Especially. It says, we often confuse understanding with faith. Many times our minds grasp and believe long before it is truly conceived in our heart. There's a difference between understanding and faith. Faith is from the heart, not the head. Because what does Romans 10:10 say? For with the heart one believes. Now this is talking about salvation. But if you had enough faith for salvation, if you could believe for salvation in a God you've never seen, in a God you've probably never heard an audible voice, you're going solely on faith by what the gospel says about who this man is. I guarantee that kind of faith can bring healing to your life. Because we've talked about before, salvation is just the beginning. It's the most important first step, but it's the first step. Then the promises of the word kick in. Right? And everything that comes along with knowing who he is and building relationship with him starts to kick in. Don't get saved and stuck. because there is so much more to this relationship. There is so much more. He wants to bring each and every one of us so much deeper. He wants to cast so much vision in each and every one of us that we can hardly contain it. There's times where I said, Lord, I don't, you got to slow down. I don't see myself doing that. But I have to start seeing me through his eyes. Even now, I want to limit myself. But I can't, because I know what he's done in my life, and I know what he'll continue to do. Because what he has for me is good, and it's the way I need to go. I can choose any way. I could choose to throw this away. Like, I'm deep enough in it now that it would take more than just me saying I'm done, because I know better. But I could, over time, convince myself that this is not what I should be doing. I could let doubt, I could let unbelief, I could stay out of the word. There's plenty of things I could choose to do. We all have a choice. And even in my most flawed state, I'm still choosing him. Because I'm not perfect. Guarantee I don't read the Bible enough. Guarantee I don't pray enough. I guarantee, according to the word of the world, I don't do enough to be standing where I'm standing right now. But it doesn't matter what the world says, because I know what God told me. And he trumps anything that anybody else has to say. And it's amazing how the closest people to you can doubt you and want to dissuade you from walking in what the Lord has for you. I had a brother, bless his heart. Things are changing in his life, so it's great. But I mentioned maybe becoming a pastor. Jess, don't be a pastor. Don't be a pastor. Please don't be a pastor. Because he'd been hurt. Then I'm just going to come out and tell you I'm very not perfect. I could potentially hurt you someday. I don't want to. That's not my intent. But the possibility is there, and I'm going to do everything within his ability to walk this out uprightly, to walk this out according to his word. But I still mess up. But I know I have his grace. And I pray that you afford me the grace, that same grace. But back to topic here. Sorry. So the same belief or faith that brought salvation, that same faith can bring healing. Healing, it's here. It's here. I don't have to, Lord, send an angel to heal me. I have the Spirit of the living God inside of me. We have to get rid of some of these bad doctrines that we got to beg and plead. No, we just need to believe. Now, circumstances are circumstances. We don't just deny circumstances, right? We can't just deny. This woman wasn't walking around going, I'm healed, even though I'm not. He healed other people, so I'm healed. Yet she still has this flow, and everybody looks at her and goes, you're nuts. This is an individual thing. If I'm on blood pressure meds, and all I have is head knowledge, and I say, I'm getting off right now. That's it. I flush them. And then I end up in the hospital, and I say, what happened? I threw away my pills. Well, did the Holy Spirit tell you to get rid of your pills? Did the Holy Spirit say stop seeing the doctor? Because maybe you're just not there yet, and that's okay. Like, we can't put so much condemnation on ourselves that we'll kill ourselves before we'll go get some help and grow. Thank God for doctors. They've kept a lot of Christians alive. I'm not against doctors, but there's also the reality of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Now, maybe this doctor keeps me alive long enough until I get that revelation. Bam, it's in my heart. You know what? I got it now. And I'm healed. And I go. And I don't need to see that doctor anymore. But thank God he kept me alive long enough to get to that point. So we gotta get out of our heads, and we gotta get this in our hearts. You believed in your heart that Jesus saved you. You believed in your heart that he died on the cross for you and that he rose again. That same belief / faith is no different for anything else you're seeking. No different. So, Luke 8, we're back down to 45. Man, time goes quick. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, so all denied it, so she denied it. Oh, yeah. Right? So she was still human. She knew what she was doing. She knew the trouble that she could potentially be in. She didn't want to get caught, right? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" It's like, geez, Jesus, right? Thank God for Peter. I think every one of us can see a little Peter in ourselves. Jesus, all these people are touching you. What are you talking about? I can just hear the conversations. He's nuts. I just don't get him. You know, because they were just guys, young dudes on top of it, you know. They weren't old and experienced and, you know, for a reason. But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out of me." So there was a difference. There was a difference. There was a difference. She was seeking with all of her heart because she had no hope. She had done everything the world had told her to and only grew worse. This was it. This was the last shot. You know, we as Americans are so, so blessed. Because we'll probably potentially never be in this position. Well, this is our last shot. Either God, you do something, or that's it. Because look at how blessed we are. Look at the options we have. Well, if I go to the front and I don't get healed, I'll just go to the doctor tomorrow. You know, I mean, this is why masses of people get healed overseas in third world countries, because they have no hope. Me and my wife are developing a relationship with this family from Zimbabwe, and they talked about this very thing. Like, people don't go to the doctor for healing. People go to the church because nobody can afford the doctor. Nobody has money. You may have money, and then the government changes and they take everything from you. And this is happening right now. It's not like this was happening forever ago. This is happening right now. The government will do something. It'll change hands, and then inflation and everything else. Nobody can afford anything. They can barely live. You think they're going to go to the doctor for help? No. She said it's beautiful. They go to the church. Because that's the only hope they have. Where are we putting our hope? Like I said, I'm not against doctors. But let's grow. And this is not condemnation. This is the challenge. Let's grow. Because each and every one of us in here can have an effect on somebody out there. There's going to come a time in here where the pastors can't pray for everybody. Where the Lord's going to tell you, go pray for that person. Go lay hands on that person right now. Do you believe that he spoke to you for one? And that, do you believe that when you lay hands on that person, that something's going to change? That's faith. Is it in here? Is it in your heart? And that's the goal. That's the goal, to get this stuff in our heart so when we go out there, man, do we make a difference. And when they come in here, man, do we make a difference. Your job is not to just sit in the pew or sit in the chair every Sunday morning. You are being trained up to be so much more than just a body on Sunday morning. Each and every one of us in this building has potential. And the depths of that potential is, we can't grasp it. Because most of the time we have such poor view of who we really are. Because we don't know who he really is. We don't know how much he truly loves us. He's not judging you right now. He's rooting for you to catch that vision. He's rooting for you to say, you know what? I do have that power inside of me. I'm gonna lay hands on that person and they're gonna be healed. And I don't care what any, I don't care about the looks I get. I don't care about the comments I get. I don't care because that's what the Lord told me to do. And that's the power that he wants. That's the power that's inside of us, and that's the power that he wants flowing through us. Because we have a different covenant than all of these people. All of these people were seeking what we have right now. You look at the prophets, Isaiah, David, how they were all prophesying about what was to come. You don't think that was just burning inside of them? Oh, to see that kind of relationship. Oh, to have that kind of relationship. To have the Spirit of the living God residing in me, not just with me. Man. It's good. So Jesus said, somebody touched me. So she finally figured out that she wasn't going to get away with this. She comes clean. But you notice the mob didn't stone her. And what does Jesus say to her? Daughter, because he's a good father. He's a good father. And that's his daughter. You're his daughter. You're his son. And he says, daughter, be of good cheer, because I'm pretty sure she was pretty scared. Something to make, because as soon as she touched him, it changed. She felt it on the inside. It changed. It stopped. You know, but fear still wanted to creep in. What did you just do? What are all these people going to think? What are they going to do to you when they find out who you were? When they find out that you've just made every one of these people unclean? I mean, man, the devil wants to rob you of that right now. The devil wanted her to rob her of that healing right now because of doubt and unbelief. But thank God for Jesus. He says, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. I love the King James. It says, your faith has made you whole. I think there's a difference in being well and whole. Whole is complete. When something is whole, it is complete. There was nothing about her that was not complete anymore. That wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And then he says, go in peace. Pretty awesome. He didn't ask her to do anything. He just said, go in peace. So, powerful, right? But it says, your faith has made you whole. My faith, your faith And we're going to get to that real quick here, but just something to meditate on. Your faith has made you whole. It wasn't his faith, because he is faith. It's who he is. He doesn't need any more faith. He doesn't need anything. It's us who need to grow up a little bit. It's us who need to seek. And this, once again, this is not condemnation. You can stay exactly where you are. And he still loves you. I still love you. We'll be friends. We'll spend eternity together. But we don't have to wait for eternity for things to change now. I'm not going to stop saying it. We don't have to wait till we die to improve our situation here. We don't have to. So, don't forget about J. Iris, right? I can't imagine what this guy's going through right now, because I'm sure this wasn't a one-minute conversation, right? Because it says, verse 49, while he was speaking, so Jesus all of a sudden starts teaching again and speaking, right? He was speaking again to the crowd. And J. Iris is pulling his hair out, going, oh my gosh, come on, right? Because that's what every one of us would be doing right now. And someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead, do not trouble the teacher. Man, talk about extreme high to just the deepest, darkest depths you can possibly go, right? Like you had him. You had him coming. He was following you to your house. And now she's dead because of that woman. If that woman just wouldn't have touched him. You see the roads we can go down? We can go down these roads really quick. If only, if only, if only. If only. Right? But, when Jesus heard it, so he wasn't unaware of the circumstance, he didn't forget about Jairus. He didn't forget about the request from Jairus. He answered him saying, do not be afraid. Only believe. And she will be made whole. Death did not keep him from continuing on and completing what was asked. Because the circumstances changed, oh, she's dead. Yeah, sorry. Nothing I can do about that now, man. Shouldn't have stopped, should I? You know, I mean, we can get really stupid with it. But it didn't matter if she died to Jesus. It didn't matter. She could have laid there 4 more days. Because did Jesus not agree to go? Is he not faithful? Is he not good and just? He would not be just if he said he was going to heal her and not heal her. He's not faithful if he finds out she's dead and, well, on to the next. Because that's not the God we serve. Right? He says, don't be afraid, only believe. Do not let fear and doubt rob you from what the Lord is speaking to you. I don't care what the circumstance is, you stand on the word of the Lord. Period. Period. Peter walked on water because of the word. Come. Because Jesus gave him a word. Jesus told them to go to the other side. He didn't tell them to mess around with a storm and almost sink and die. He told them, go to the other side. That was the promise that they had. And these are the things that we need to pay attention to. When Jesus tells you something, you stand on it and you walk on it and you go, regardless of the circumstances around you, regardless of what people are saying. Because when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the girl. Now all wept and mourned. So these people, I mean, this is what happens when people die there. All these people are weeping and wailing, and I believe it's Matthew says they are playing the flutes, and so it's this big to-do when somebody passes away, right? And he says, do not, and this is what Jesus says, do not sleep, she is not dead, but sleeping. Interesting, because he said the same thing about Lazarus. If you recall, he said, our friend Lazarus sleeps. Eventually, he reveals to him that he's dead. It's curious. I've read some things on it. And I don't have full revelation of that, but I think it's just really interesting. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Maybe because in Christ, there's really not much difference between death and sleeping. Because you die and you step into something else. You go somewhere else. Right? Just an interesting, I think it's in. And they ridiculed him. Once again, do not let others influence what the Lord is speaking to you. He told you to do what? That's pretty stupid. Are you really going to go over there and do that? Well, the Lord told me to. Well, you're going to get yourself killed. Right? If you go minister to that sick person, you're going to get sick. I mean, we hear these things. I've heard these things. Especially during COVID. Don't go pray for somebody with COVID. You'll get COVID. What? We got ways to go, people. But that's okay. Because we're all growing in this. We're all moving in this. So what does he do? Because what was Jairus' request? If you lay your hand on my daughter, she will be healed. And that's exactly what he did. If you want to keep on reading, you can. He lays his hand on her and says, little girl, arise. There you go. There you go. But my point in all of that, because I don't want us to be overwhelmed. How do I get this? I don't think I have that much faith. I don't think I'm there. Don't take on condemnation over this. That's not what this is about. Because he met each and every one of them exactly where they were at. Now, can we grow to another place? I want to grow, and I'm not there yet, to the centurion's faith. Just say the word. I'm there in some areas of my life, but other areas, and even the centurion's faith, that doesn't have to be the end of it. I think it's, we serve a loving God who's with us, right? He knows who we are. He knows where we're at. Maybe he sends somebody along your path to help. Hey, would you pray for me? Hey, the Lord told me to come pray for you. I don't know what it looks like. But don't feel down or don't get discouraged because maybe you don't have that kind of faith. You do have that kind of faith because you chose him. You chose him with that kind of faith. Keep walking in that faith. Everybody compares the mustard seed, and I'm going long, but sorry. You just have faith like a mustard seed. But it's not the size of the mustard seed, it's the potential in the mustard seed. Because Jesus rebuked little faith. He did. That was a harsh reality for me, because I held on to that little mustard seed. All I need is faith is like a mustard seed. Now, but there comes a point where we should be growing, right? Because the potential of a mustard seed is to get so big that it gives shade, birds can build their nest. It's a place to come, you know, because of the potential that's in that little teeny seed. It's that little seed that gets planted in your heart that has endless potential. Don't get wrapped up on where you are. Get wrapped up on who he is and what he can do through you. Just believe. And it comes back to relationship, and this is where I'll end. Oh, I might get done on time. Relationship. Because as I've grown in relationship, my faith has grown in him because of what he does for me. Jude, I do want you to write this down. Write this down and meditate on this week. Jude 1, 20 through 21. There's only one chapter, so you'll find it. Even if you got to read all the verses, you'll find it. Jude 1, 20 through 21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." What is our most holy faith? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our faith. Jesus Christ is our hope. What he did for us, our relationship with him, is our most holy faith. But we need to build ourselves up. Because we don't have life coaches by our side at all times of the day. You can do this, you can do this. The word says this, the word says that. You need to take what the Lord has done for you and build yourself up with it. Praying in the Holy Spirit. It's a good one. I can personally attest that when I'm praying in the Spirit is when, man, I hear things. Not in a weird way, but I hear things. That's where a lot of my revelation comes from, is when I'm praying in the Spirit. He's just talking. He's talking. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You mean, what? I need to do something here? Yeah. Build yourself up. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. To sum this up, it's relationship. Seek him. Seek him. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Don't get run down by who you think you are. Don't miss out on what the Lord has for you because you think you're less than. Because, nah, he's not going to use me that way. Oh, careful what you say. I wasn't going to be a preacher. I wasn't. I really wasn't. Last thing I wanted to do, but yeah, look at me now. But I find contentment in this. I'm at peace when I do this. And I wouldn't be, I can guarantee you, if I would have stayed where I was at Lake Elmo, I love Lake Elmo, I love the people at Lake Elmo, they're my family, but the Lord told me to leave. The Lord told me to stop drumming, something that I didn't want to do. I love music. I love drumming. I love it. But he asked me to do something else, and I could still be there because I have a choice. I have a choice. I could still be there drumming. I could still be there with all the people I know and like. And I like you guys now. You're all great. You're all great. But that would have been the easy thing to do. But I wouldn't be experiencing the blessing that I'm experiencing in my life now if I was still there. Because the Lord told me to come here. And here is where my blessing is. So this is where that relationship is so important. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life, whether, you know, this happened to be about healing. It doesn't matter where you're at. Let him Stop trying to do this stuff on your own. Realize what we have. Realize who you are. You are loved. You are loved. Amen? All right, 2 minutes over. That's not bad. All right. So we'll pray and I'll release you guys. But really, I want you, Jude 1, 20 through 21. Write down what the Lord has done for you. I'm serious about this. Before I asked you guys to write down your vision, and if you haven't done it, write down your vision. Like I said, I don't care if it's a word. I'm giving you homework. Write down what the Lord has done in your life. He brought me out of depression.
Are we sharing?
Hmm? We'll see. I can't tell you that now because then nobody will do it. Oh, I don't have anything written down. I can't come up and say anything. But this is how we encourage each other. You know what the Lord's done for me? Do you know what he did for me this last week? Man, when I was going through this, he did this for me. That's the kind of stuff, because that's real, right? That's real. That's what can really minister to people. No, he really did that in my life. He really took me out of depression, stress, and anxiety. He really did. Amen. Like, he really did that for me. He really showed me how much he loves me because he revealed who my wife was. He revealed who my children were. And he revealed who they really, what they really mean. That's what he's done for me. But that's the stuff that needs to be in your heart. So when we do get down and we do run into hard times, you know what? You've done this for me. You'll get me through this. You can get me through this because your love, you are mercy. Now I'm 4 minutes over, but... But that this is where we need to get. Get over yourself. I had to get over myself. I had to get over how much I messed things up. I had to get over who I thought I was because that's not who I am to him. Man, because he can take anybody. He can take anybody. Seriously, I'm going to keep saying it. Write down what the Lord has done for you. I don't know if it's weekly, daily, hourly, whatever, rehearse it. You've done this for me. You've done this for me. You are faithful. You are good. And watch how your attitude changes. And watch the opportunities that come in your life because of it. It's really hard to see help when you're not looking for it. He wants to help. He's there. Amen? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this congregation, Lord. And I thank you that we are all growing in you. We are all growing in wisdom and knowledge. And Father, I thank you right now that you are revealing how much you love each and everybody in here. Each and every one of us, Father, you love us. You love us and you care for us and you want to help. Help us to open our hearts and open our eyes and ears to hear and receive what you have for us, Lord. And I just thank you for the testimonies that you've given each and every one of us to share with others, to help others grow. And I thank you for the opportunities that you're going to be giving us throughout this week to help others, to share your goodness with others, and to have others help us as well. And Father, I just speak safety and health and life over this congregation as they go this week. And we just look forward to what you have for us next week, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.